that no other name under heaven by which man must be saved. It's not mankind learning to get along with itself. It's the world. And ignoring God, what happens when that takes place? Joshua chapter 18, verses 1 to 3. Now the whole congregation of the children of Israel assembled together at Shiloh and set up the tabernacle of meeting there. And the land was subdued before them. But there remained among the children of Israel seven tribes which had not yet received their inheritance. Then Joshua said to the children of Israel, "How long will you neglect to go and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers has given you?" Israel was falling behind in their part to receive the promised land. The land was subdued before them. This was what Joshua brought this to their attention. And seven, over half the tribes in Israel, had not received their inheritance yet. And I have to ask, what's going on? Why? Why had they not? The land was subdued before them. God took the fight out of their enemies. He had done his part. And everybody just kind of was enjoying the peace and quiet, I think. I believe the problem lies in what we value, what they valued. Peace. You notice at our beauty contest, the thing that the contestants always say they're looking for is world peace. Yeah, absolutely. But is it the peace that Jesus brings, or is it peace? There is a god, an idol, also called peace. And it disengages people and keeps them from being engaged and honest. So we value what we want, and we want what we value and go after it. We're going to get what we want. Did you know that? No matter what it is, we're going to get what we want. If we want God's will, we'll be in good shape. If we want other things, we'll get that. But it won't be good shape. It's the place that Canada and America, thank you, Rob, for reminding us of that, is sitting in right now. We got what we wanted. We got what we went after. And here we are. And see what it's doing. But it is. But we want the will of God to be a lot of things. But it is what it is. We want it to be a lot of things, but it is what it is. Do you know what it is? We should know what it is. Or at least be searching for it all the time. God alone determines His will. All we can do is determine whether we will comply or not. And it's our choice daily to comply or not to comply to His will. What did Jesus say about the value of the kingdom of God? Something about being priceless, I think. Something that one would want to pursue. Book of Matthew, chapter 13. Chapters 44 to 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of a great price, went and sold all that he had, and he bought it. And why is it that God and the angels are more mindful of the earthly than the earthly are mindful of heaven? From Luke chapter 15, verses 8 to 10. 15, 8 to 10. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, I have found the peace which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Joshua 18, verses 6 to 10. You shall therefore survey the land in seven parts, and bring the survey here to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord our God. But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance. And Gad, Reuben, and half the tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance beyond the Jordan on the east, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave them. Then the men arose to go away, and Joshua charged those who went to survey the land, saying, "Go, walk through the land, survey it, and come back to me, that I may cast lots for you here before the Lord in Shiloh." So the men went, passed through the land, and wrote the survey in a book in 7 parts by cities, and they came to Joshua at the camp of Shiloh. And Joshua cast lots for them in Shiloh before the Lord, and there Joshua divided the land to the children of Israel according to their divisions. The casting of the lot to the Hebrews' mind gave occasion for God to express His will. That's why they did it. They were looking for God's will. They weren't looking to win. They weren't looking for somebody else to lose. They were looking for God's will. The casting of the lot was what people did. The result of the lot was what was of the Lord. It was even used by the apostles to select an apostle in Acts chapter 1, verse 26. Today it would take the form of pulling straws or the flipping of a coin. The big difference being that the Hebrews considered the outcome God's will. We just say that we were lucky or unlucky. We could consult God that way. If you need to know His will and you're not sure which one, you could do that. But don't trust in the coin and don't trust in the straw. Trust in God. Your attitude would be right. I never really liked moving days. A lot of work, a lot of confusion, a lot of getting used to the new place. And where is my razor, my toothbrush, and the toothpaste? Reading the Scriptures and celebrating the abundant life is good. Because I'm comparing us to Joshua at this time and the children of Israel. It's good. But we must also walk in and walk out the abundant life that Jesus gives us. Have we changed? Have we stopped changing? When? Why? Questions sometimes we don't like to ask, but we should ask those questions. Don't ask them of your friends. They'll always tell you you're fine. Ask them of somebody else, or ask them of yourself. Stand in a mirror and ask God. Before a mirror and ask God. Chapter 19. The 7 remaining tribes who had not as yet taken the land that was allotted to them now have their allotment assigned specifically to them. Now each tribe would have to take over their own piece of land without the help of all the other tribes. This is what it sounded like. But wait a minute. What if they kept going? What if when the enemy was subdued, they kept going and worked as a group and took over the land? They knew what God's will was, but now they're standing there. I'm thinking with the attitude of, well, we don't know which piece of land is ours, so we don't know which way to go. Excuse. Take over the promised land. All of it. Well, what's going to be ours? Never mind. Take it over. All of it. We'll divide it up later. But no, they were stalling out. So now it's divided up to them, and it's even harder. Every time we negate or put off or compromise the will of God, what is before us gets stronger and harder to work through or push away. Now is the time. When God speaks, it's the time to move. And to keep moving. It's a body working together. We don't know much of that in North America. That's why churches blow up all the time. Because they won't work together. There's always this or that or some compromise that didn't get worked or whatever. And they blow up. You need to stay in it for the glory of God and not self-preference. Joshua 19, verse 51. These chapters... You can read them at home. Lots of details. So I'm just picking out the most important parts. These were the inheritance which Eleazar the priest, Joshua the son of Nun, and the heads of the fathers of the tribes of the children of Israel divided as an inheritance by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. So they made an end of dividing the country. Didn't take it over yet, but they made an end of dividing it. It has to come to an end. You know, you can have a board meeting, you can have any kind of a meeting, but at some point, it has to come to an end. The preaching must stop, and the living must begin. It's just the way it is. We can only talk about the goodness of God and all that He has given for so long, and then it's time to step out of our will and into His. Think of it that way. It's not just walking in the will of God. It's actually stepping out of our will to walk in His. Have you ever noticed that? That's the difficulty of it. The will of God, I love the will of God, and I also love to have my way, as do you. And it's those moments we need to decide, put ourselves on the altar with the person we're praying for, and find out which way we should go. We can't make this word say what we want to say. We can, but we shouldn't. We mustn't. So, walking out of our will into His. It's the experience of people walking in and walking out of the will of God that shows forth the viability of Christ in one's life. That's what it is. You don't need to go and learn how to witness to people. You just have to have a desire to live in the will of God. And He will put you there. Where? In the midst of people. And because that's what you do, your life will be credible. And you've maximized the potential of them, those people becoming a believer. But if you're just dilly-dallying around somewhere between the will of God and your own, they can see it for what it is. I've said it lots of times before, the lost are not stupid. Oftentimes, they're smarter than believers. They can smell a phony a mile off. And so that's the secret to witnessing. And you find out that your strongest point when you're witnessing will be your own story. They want to see God in a life. So it's not just about telling them scriptures. They want to see your story. They want to hear about how it was with you. What happened to you? People ask me, how did a truck driver become a pastor? Now I stop trying to explain it. I just say, God. Maybe it'll lead to other things. Chapter 20, cities of refuge. These were places that anyone who had unintentionally struck a neighbor he did not hate beforehand, he could go there. Intent is used as in our court system today as well. Unintentional killing is manslaughter. Planning to kill is murder. It's the same kind of a thing. But you always had, in those days, they would have people, you killed somebody's brother, somebody's child, somebody's whatever, and they would come after you because they were still thinking eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And so a city of refuge was a place you could go and be safe until the high priest died at that place, in that place, and then you were on your own. The cities were situated in such a manner as to accommodate all 12 tribes. 4 cities spread out north to south on the west side of the Jordan, and 3 cities spread out north to south on the east side of the Jordan. These cities of refuge were a sign of God's mercy. God provided a way to handle mistakes. Joshua 20, verse 4. And when he flees to one of those cities and stands at the entrance of the gate of the city and declares his case in the hearing of the elders of that city, that he shall take him into the city as one of them and give him a place that he may dwell among them. So a person fleeing to a city of refuge was to stand at the gate of the city and declare their case. In Matthew 18:16, in an unresolved manner, everything is to be confirmed in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. I love the way the Bible works together. It's all one book. You've got this time in the life of people, and you've got this time in the life of people, and Jesus is written and spoke of through the entire book. The refuge that we have for our personal sins in the New Testament, I want to bring that in too, is found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. So 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Actually, it's through verse 8 with it. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, the old habit we have in the world of pretending something didn't go wrong or something didn't happen or ignoring it, shoving it under the carpet. We don't need to live like that anymore. We can live honestly before God. God desires for us, whether the Old Testament or New Testament, His resolve is that we be responsible and accountable both in our relationship with Himself and in our relationship with one another. Responsible and accountable. It's important. What's lacking in the world today? Both. Both. Nobody's responsible anymore and nobody's going to be held accountable. We just kind of do what we like. Back in the book of Judges so long ago, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes.
nasty.
I am not very encouraged by the presentation that leaders give today for their position. Everyone wants to have the position, and they'll do whatever they can to get it and to hold it. And the position has become primary, not right and wrong, the position. And you're trying to accommodate everybody that's doing what's right in their own eyes. Millions of people. Not going to work. If you don't love right and wrong, you won't know right from wrong. Another case of being responsible is found in Matthew 5:23-25. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Does this mean that every time someone is angry with us, that it's our fault? No. Or our responsibility to make it right? Maybe not. Jesus said in Luke 6:26, "Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Where we are wrong, we should admit that. Where we are not wrong, we shouldn't take on false guilt so that people will remain our friends. Sometimes we're going to lose friends, just the way it is. Right and wrong must prevail. Chapter 21. Here the priests are given cities to dwell in along with common land on which to keep their livestock. The heads of the Levites came before the leaders according to the command that Moses had given. Numbers 35 verse 2 will show that they requested that the cities and the suburbs be granted them according to the divine command. This giving of various cities to various priests would scatter them throughout the populace of Israel. There was no municipal law, only God's law. The priests placed in the midst of the people were upholders of the law of God. They were to be God's influence among the people. It's much the same as it is today. Joshua 21:43-45. So the Lord gave to Israel all the land on which he had sworn to them to give to their fathers, and they took possession of it and went and dwelt in it. The Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Not a word failed of any good thing which the Lord had spoken to the house of Israel. All came to pass. These verses pose the importance of being careful about keeping what God has given them and gives us. This is a moment in Israel's history when they were experiencing the completed promises of God. And that's often where people stop. Maybe it's their experience of salvation. Maybe their life just began to get ordered or reordered, and they stop. Why is that? Because we love peace more than we love the Prince of Peace. We're just in it for what we can get, and that's where it shows up. That's why we have to do some introspection as we go along to know, otherwise we will go asleep. We'll fall asleep, just like boiling a frog. Happens slow enough, the frog won't even know it. We have to be careful what we're in love with. Times like this, I don't deliberately challenge you because I like to challenge people. I don't like that. I'd rather write nice sermons. But I tried that, and they're very short and uninteresting. So just let God do it. And He challenges us week by week to pay attention to Him and to pay attention to where we're putting our feet. We love peace. Be careful. We love abundance. Be careful. Always be alert, aware, and like God in that sense. So after the great battle of slaughtering 31 kings, which happened earlier we saw, there still remained land and cities belonging to the Philistines. Joshua, verses 13:1-6, shows us this. This land with its cities is found in the hands of the Philistines during the time of David, some 300 to 400 years later. They still hadn't taken it. They had parts of it, but they didn't take it. Why? Well, this is good enough. I like this. I don't. I don't want to become a Jesus freak. I don't want to become, you know, go to church too much. Yeah, that's the stuff that makes it happen. We get what we wanted, and we're gone. Church is like that today. People come for a while, boom, and then fizzle out because they got what they wanted. I used the term a few months back, deists. Exactly. As long as God will work for them, they're in. As soon as God requires something from them, and actually when He does that, it's for our betterment, they're out. That's why we don't get better very often, or tend to. I realize I'm preaching to the choir, but I want you to keep singing a good song. So I have a number of verses here I'm going to start with next week. And they're all about what could happen but doesn't happen when the will of God is ignored or compromised to suit one's preference. So that's next week's sermon. What could happen but doesn't happen when the will of God is ignored or compromised to suit one's preference. We are indeed, to some degree, at war with God for sovereignty. We must recognize that and deal with it. Or the church will go the way of the world. It absolutely will. What is applying to the world today, because they got what they wanted and it's absolute chaos, turned everything into absolute chaos, will also happen in the church if it doesn't watch out. Because they got what they wanted. Is that God's desire? You know, a good prayer to pray, Lord, grant me the desires of your heart and a heart for your desires. Pray that daily. And that'll help keep us online and in line. The world is going to need us, especially at this time, when everything is going south. The harvest fields are even whiter. There's people now that are frightened enough that they might actually look at the fact that their mortal lives will be required of them at some point. And so, I encourage you to stay focused and watch out for those. Don't watch out as in avoiding. Watch for those who could really use a lift. And the lift they need is Jesus Christ. Amen.